Well, it's very good to be back with you all. Everyone doing all right?
Yeah.
Still awake?
Yeah.
Good. It's always worth. I think it's always worth checking. You know.
People may,
well, there's real faith. I may check with you, Dennis, but. Now, it is great to be with you all. I want to begin, though, by asking a couple of questions. And I'm very conscious that within kind of church life, particularly maybe in kind of the denomination we're part of and in this country, that we have this setup where someone comes and speaks at the front and we all sit in our chairs, generally try and look awake, not think too much about lunch, and kind of go, at the appropriate points. But what I want to do, I want to actually kind of get you thinking this morning. And so I want to ask this question. Do you find it tough following Jesus if you follow Jesus? If you're a friend of Jesus, do you find it hard? And I'm not just looking for a kind of a, yeah, I do. But, do you know, sometimes it's really quite difficult, isn't it? I wonder whether you have days when actually you'd rather just give up with it all. Maybe today's one of those days, and you've kind of come here, and you're actually thinking, there's places I could be. Okay, the weather's not great, but, you know, I could be out doing stuff and that sort of thing. And I wonder whether sometimes we have that mindset that, you know, it's hard work being a Christian, being a believer, being a friend of Jesus. And actually, I mean, my other question is, do you ever think that it should be easier? It shouldn't be as, and maybe this is the slightly hard, we can all go, yeah, it's tough. But actually, do you ever have those moments where you think, shouldn't it just be that little bit simpler for me? Shouldn't it just be a little bit kind of, you know, more carefree? You know, with my work, actually, why am I unemployed? If I'm following Jesus, shouldn't actually I get a break? You know, with my finances, why is it that the end of every month, I'm kind of counting down those days and hoping that I kind of keep the balance? Why is it that, you know, if I'm following Jesus, if I'm living for him, if I'm giving my time for him and everything, that actually, you know, there's so much ill health. And actually there's people that I love and care for who don't survive. It's one thing to say, yeah, it's tough to follow Jesus. But we actually think, I wonder sometimes where we think, actually, shouldn't it be that little bit easier? I doubt many of us kind of the whole time go, yeah, it's brilliant. It's always wonderful. It's always rosy. Read this week a book by a lady called Ruth Roberts called Am I Missing Something? And she used to work for the News of the World back in the 90s. And it's her story. She describes it as Christianity through the eyes of a new believer, as someone who discovered Jesus. And it's almost like a diary that she kind of kept about different instances. And it's really interesting to see her questions are actually kind of almost saying, well, shouldn't it be simpler? Shouldn't it be a bit more straightforward? Shouldn't it be, you know, better? Because if I'm doing all this, if I'm living for him, what am I almost getting in return? And obviously we don't think like that. But I wonder whether sometimes we do. So I came to look at the passage for this morning, Matthew 7. I think it's one of those passages that in many ways fuels that kind of thinking. This idea that actually shouldn't it be a bit simpler? Shouldn't it be a bit easier? Shouldn't I actually have a bit more money and a nicer car? And shouldn't actually we all stay healthy and that sort of thing? I'm going to read from Matthew 7:7-12. It says, ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and the door will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives. He who seeks finds, and to him who knocks, the door will be opened. Which of you, if his son asks for bread, will give him a stone? Or if he asks for a fish, will give him a snake? If you then, though you are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father in heaven give good gifts to those who ask him? So in everything, do to others what you would have them do to you. For this sums up the law and the prophets. This idea of ask, seek, knock. The idea that we can kind of go to God and say, actually, this is my shopping list for today. These are the kind of things that I need. It would be nice if it was a bit more sunny because I got the day off. Or I'm going shopping. Actually, it'd be really great if I had a car parking space really close by because I've got to get on somewhere else. And actually, there's this going on and that. And There's a clip I saw called Coffee with Jesus, and it's this guy who goes into this coffee shop, and there's someone playing kind of, you know, Jesus. This guy turns up, and he just kind of reels out this whole load of stuff, all these different things that he wants, he needs, and that sort of stuff. And then just as Jesus is about to respond, the guy goes, oh, I've got to go now, and he's off. And it's almost this idea that we've just kind of, you know, got to give our things, because actually that's what we'll get. And that's what this passage is almost suggesting. And I don't believe that Jesus, to paraphrase his words here, is kind of saying, you know, kind of, Father Christmas hasn't got a thing on me because I can give you what you want every day of the year. You haven't got to wait till just December the 25th, but actually any day, I can roll out whatever it is that you want. But I wonder whether sometimes that is what is put across. And that is what we take from a passage like this. It's one of those things that, you know, you might see some of those TV and radio evangelists saying that almost kind of, if you do this for God, he'll do this for you. You know, put your life out for him and live for him, and who knows, you know, everything that you want, everything that you desire will be yours. And you might kind of say, but okay, Ed, we get what you're saying here, but we're not quite like that, really. We don't push it that far. But again, I wonder whether that is actually some truth in there. That we read such a passage and we think, okay, so I haven't got this massive wish list. But there are times when I ask for things, and it says here, ask and it will be given to you, and I don't get it. It says here, seek and you will find, and I don't find it. It says knock and the door will be open, but it seems to stay firmly shut. Conscious, a very kind of difficult area, but it could be the fact that we're praying for someone who is sick. And it says, ask and it will be given to you. And we're saying, God, this is something, it's not something, we're not asking for a big house. We're not asking for a new car. We're not asking for money. We're asking for something, and this is something. But still, we don't always get the answer that we expect. Someone needs a new job. They're out of work. They've got a mortgage to pay. Again, we come and we ask God to intervene, but this passage doesn't, you know, get backed up in what we see. And how do we grapple with that? How do we work through what that means in our lives? As an aside, I think it's interesting to look at a number of passages within the Bible. Paul prayed three times for the thorn in his flesh to be taken. And God said, my grace is sufficient for you, in 2 Corinthians 2:12, verse 9. We read Jesus in the Garden of Gethsemane. You know, he said, you know, if there's another way, I'm happily, you know. But he knew what he had to do. There wasn't some kind of easy path that he took. So the bit in Job, I was reminded of this week. I was in a meeting with someone and someone shared Job 38, verses 4 to 7. Job's, you know, all this stuff has happened to him, and he's kind of said to God, you know, come on, God, you know, what's... And God says, where were you when I laid the earth's foundation? Tell me if you understand. Who marked off its dimensions? Surely you know. Who stretched a measuring line across it? On what were its footings set? Or who laid its cornerstone while the morning stars sang together and all the angels shouted for joy? Who shut up the sea behind doors when it burst forth from the room? When I made the clouds its garments and wrapped it in thick darkness? When I fixed limits for it and set its doors and bars in place? When I said, this far you may come and no farther, here is where your proud waves hold. You know, where were you? And sometimes we get this answer that actually, you know, a reminder almost that we're not God. And I think it's something very important to grasp, that when we look at passages such as Matthew 7, I think we can come at them almost, well, I'm on an equal setting here, really. Jesus is saying these things, and actually I'm on a par with him, and actually, you know, this is what I expect. For me, I'm very conscious. You know, as a preacher, you come at these passages and you kind of say, okay, these are the words we're looking at today and we're going to look at this little section, whereas actually it's important to look much more widely. And as part of this series, looking at the Sermon on the Mount, it's actually when you see it in the context of what Jesus has been saying that I think this passage suddenly comes to life. and the power that within it, and the shift in terms of our understanding of what he's saying is made clear. See, if you look at it in the light of all that's been happening, at the heart of the Sermon on the Mount, Jesus sets the Lord's Prayer. And it's this framework for engaging with God. And so when we come to ask and it will be given to you, seek and you will find, knock and the door will be opened, I think it's recognizing the way that this is almost that ending point. It's drawing it to a close. Then how is this being fulfilled? You look at the comparison in Luke, and it very much flows out of Jesus' teaching on prayer. The theologian, interestingly called M. Boring, I'm not going to say any more on that. He writes, though, that actually when you get to grips with what Jesus is saying here, that in the Old Testament and the Jewish tradition, seeking was a term that was used for prayer. What is, you know, God's will as the object of that prayer. So what is it that we're seeking after? We're seeking after God's will. Talking about knocking. Again, this expression for actually engaging with God, praying, coming before him, and seeking his heart. Asking is hopefully self-explanatory, but in that sense of actually how we communicate with our Creator. It's been great being able to, as I've shared, I think before, introduce my children to proper toys and TV and that sort of thing. None of this current stuff. And one of them that I'm really getting Ewan and Evie quite excited in at the moment is the Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles, which was one of the things I really enjoyed as a child. I mean, they're re-releasing new series and that sort of thing. I've even managed to point out to the Lego that they do and all that sort of thing. And I remember, though, as a child, having these trading cards, and you may have had them for football or whatever. I remember having them for the Turtles. And this idea that you'd try and collect all of them, and you'd spend your time in the playground kind of going, well, I'll trade you this one if you give me that one, or I'll give you these five for that one, or whatever, depending on the thing. And I wonder whether sometimes when we look at passages like this, when we think about how we communicate with God, it is that sense of, well, kind of, I'll give you this if you give me that. But yet, at the heart of what Jesus is saying, I think is this encouragement to keep praying, keep seeking God, keep calling out to him. Look at all that I've been saying, Jesus, you know, all that I've taught. And as you grasp hold of that, how are you going to live it out? How are you going to stay connected with me? I wonder whether when we last read the Sermon on the Mount, actually read Matthew 5 and following. I mean, you may have been looking over it these recent weeks, but we can very easily dip in and out. But actually, if you look at what Jesus is saying, I mean, just start with the Beatitudes. I spent some time looking over them this week, and you suddenly go, whoa, there's quite a lot there. They're the kind of bit that we can skim over because they're a little weird. So we kind of go, okay, they're nice. But you look at what Jesus teaches on, talking about salt and light, talking about the fact of murder, and we're going to go, okay, well, I'm not going to murder anyone, but Jesus again takes it that stage and saying, you know, don't get angry with anyone. And you look at what he's talking about, you look at the challenge of following him, and suddenly it's quite big, and it's not that simple. But that is why Jesus is saying, I'm not kind of, you know, setting you up here, giving you all these things you need to try and do as you follow me, and then you're just out on your own. I'm there with you. But you need to engage. You need to connect. This is a relationship we're in. But I wonder again how often that can be something we can forget. If you take it on to the middle section of the passage, which of you, if his son asks for bread, will give him a stone, or if he asks for a fish, will give him a snake, and so on. It's talking about how, you know, God is a good God. Backing up again this sense that actually, as we've been challenged with what it means to live for him, he's going to help us as we seek to live that out. I was on the train this week, travelling up to Didcot, as I do quite regularly, was on the train coming from Basildon to Fenchurch Street, where I'd then get a change and go across London. And it's that kind of early morning, and everyone's sitting there really quietly, and maybe there's a slight conversation, someone's phone goes off, and everyone turns and stares, that sort of thing. And suddenly the driver comes over the voiceover system, and he kind of says, "I'm sorry to interrupt you this morning, ladies and gentlemen, but I wonder if I could take a moment of your time. My daughter is in The Voice, the BBC One talent television programme, this Friday. She's got through to the live finals, and it'd be really great if you could support her. I'm just a really proud dad, and I want to..." What was interesting, though, is you could hear in his voice that he was just so proud of what his daughter had achieved. And for too long, I felt, he went on trying to encourage people. But it was because he just wants to, support her and encourage her in what she's doing and play his part in helping her dreams become a reality. Well, God's got more than just kind of a voiceover system on a train to help us out. And when we think of God, I think he's more than a proud dad. And he's, the gifts that he has for us are more than we can imagine. But yet he's saying, actually, these are there for you. How are you asking? How are you engaging? How are you, knocking on my door for what I have for you? I think in terms of the gifts that he's talking about, many writers allude to the fact that he's talking about the coming of the Holy Spirit, the fact that there is so much more than just someone who's going to walk with you physically, which was all they maybe kind of experienced, who's going to do a miracle here, there, and that sort of thing. But actually, this is something that's going to impact your life in a way that, until you read the beginning of Acts, you think kind of, whoa, this is real, this is something that's really going to, shake the foundations of people's lives, but for a very positive means. And it's this sense that Jesus is saying, we've got the best for you here, but are you asking for it? Are you actually looking for it? Last week I was speaking in part this whole thing of whether we have the hunger within us. Do we actually have the hunger as Jesus' followers to live our lives for him? If you take the Sermon on the Mount, if you take Jesus' teachings, there's some really tough stuff there. If we're going to seek to live that out, we'll still be answering that question, is it easy following Jesus, with maybe maybe not so much of a smile, but actually, yeah, it is tough. And maybe there will be those times when we think, actually, shouldn't it just be a bit easier? Shouldn't I get my break? I know that's something that Emma and I have often discussed these last kind of almost 4 years since we've moved and working with Arise. Almost there's those times when I've said to her, I said, come on, shouldn't we get a bit more? Because we're doing this. And it's realizing that's not what it's about. Because what God's got for us is better than a few £100 in our bank. It's better than, a nicer house. It's better than all these things that we can say. It's even better than life here on earth. It's about something that will never end. But it's something that starts today. It's something that started the day that we discovered Jesus and decided to live for him. The question is, though, are we that bothered about it? Or are we just kind of going through the motions? Are we turning up? Are we just doing our thing? Or are we actually hungry? Saying, God, I want all you've got. I'm going to be banging on your door. I'm going to break your door down because I want you in my life that much. Or have we just become a nice club, whether here in Battle, whether more widely? There was that song, it really caught my, this morning, the bit at the end of the chorus where it said, you came to seek and save the lost. Jesus did come to seek and save the lost. I wonder whether, though, we take those words and we actually go, yeah, you came to do that. Brilliant. I'm just going to carry on doing my thing here because you came to do that. Yeah, and I'll just mind my own business. Jesus came to seek and save the lost, but he came for us to follow him in that. Challenge for us, I believe, It's how are we taking stock of, you know, are we asking God? Asking him for what he's got for us, what the future holds. Are we seeking the provision that he has for us to follow him? And are we knocking with a persistence, with a hunger that is real and gritty and genuine, or are we actually just content, just minding our own business? Dennis had that picture earlier, the stringed instrument, the sense that, you know, God can make you sing again. And I wonder whether this morning there's some of us here who actually we feel like that. We feel like, whether it's a violin or a cello, but actually the strings have snapped, or, you know, the knobbly bits, whatever they're called at the end, of, you know, don't quite tighten up enough. It's been knocked around a bit. And actually maybe this morning we feel kind of at one stage we would have had something, but not anymore. I believe we need to humble ourselves. We need to seek God. And we need to be ready for all that he is going to do in us. Let's pray. God, I want to thank you that you're still at work. You're doing amazing things. That the accounts we read in the Bible are not things that stopped many years ago, but that you are a living and an active God who is bothered about each one of us. I pray, Lord, that you will meet us wherever we find ourselves when we grapple with things like this, in terms of our provision, in terms of what it means to follow you, in terms of some of the hardships that we face, in terms of some of the unanswered prayers, however well-meaning they may be. But more so, Lord, I pray that you will meet us at our point of need, where we need to grapple with what it means to be hungry for you, what it means to be seeking you, what it means to be on our knees asking for you to fill us with your power. And not just for a moment at the end of a service where we can feel tingly and that's great, but actually you'll fill us with your power when we're at work tomorrow. You'll fill us with your power when we spend time with our families. You'll fill us with your power when we're out living our lives, so that we can be all that you call us to be, Lord. So that we can truly sing again. So that we can take all the good gifts that you have for us, and we can seek to glorify you with our lives. In your name we pray. Amen.
Thank you, Ed. Thank you very much. Let's just...